So we pray, Heavenly Father, we know that the prophet taught his truth when he said the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. We pray, therefore, Lord, that you'll quiet in our hearts and especially our minds, Lord, that we may rid ourselves of every encumbrance toward the true revelation, which is a revelation of faith, a passive faith, Lord, that comes to us, we having nothing to do with it but to receive it, Lord. And if we don't have what we're supposed to have to receive it, then we can't even have that. Even as you told the Pharisees, you have no place in you for my word. So, Lord, this morning we want to say we believe that we have a place for it. We have a desire for it. We don't want to turn it down. We are here and we trust that if there is something in us at all, Lord, that word is quickened and will be quickened thereby. We want your truth, Lord, and we want the life that is in the truth, and this is where we stand. We pray we might receive it this morning. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're to number 17 in the Easter seal, and we continued last night in the part of the Easter seal wherein Brother Branham was illustrating what he termed the quickening power of God in the lives of various Bible characters. And of course, when he spoke of the quickening power of God, he was alluding to it in a twofold manner. Number one, these men that he illustrated whereby, they were quickened to God himself either by dreams, visions, or the literal appearing of God face to face. They had met God, and they knew that it was God. Now, you can realize what that meant to those people. Paul was accused of being beside himself. People tried to betray Moses. And you might just say that all hell let loose as far as people were enabled to let hell loose, seeing they were not children of the kingdom, but their destiny was that particular area. As Jesus said, I am from above and you are from beneath. As James spoke of wisdom, which was sensual from below and that which was from above. And so you can see the conflict here. That these men spoke as men possessed. And remember Agrippa, I think, who got so overwrought by the overwrought Paul, he said, Paul, you're mad. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. You think God does that to people?
Oh, bless God, they go to seminary. And they learn the words of the dead. Amen. And they speak so.
Mustn't get excited. No, dead people don't get excited. Number one, they were quickened to God himself. Either by dreams, visions, or the literal appearing of God face to face, even apparently as to Moses and to Paul and William Branham. They met God, and they knew it was God. That doesn't mean the rest did. Number two, then they were quickened or enabled by the same Spirit of God to prophesy with perfection and also to manifest their vindication unto authority and their taking of precedence for God. Right? You didn't get it. Let me read it again. They were quickened or enabled by the same Spirit of God, the same God that they met. Quickened them to prophesy with perfection. And also to manifest their vindication unto authority and the taking of precedence for God.
Bless God, ain't nobody going to tell me I got the Holy Ghost too, bless God. I don't need no prophet. I got Jesus. Hallelujah.
Huh? Think it over. Taking precedence. Prophet came up to the widow and he said, woman, bake me a little cake. Why, she said, you bird, you. You con artist.
You're going to take what tiny bit I got for me and my boy and just, how much did you have? One little stick to cook it. What can you cook on a bit? It's about what it amounts to. Light a cigarette. But we don't even smoke. Why, you con artist. He said, woman, you make me that cake, and the oil in the cruse will never fail, and the meal in the barrel. She says, hallelujah, I'm going to bake him a cake. And you know something? The oil never gave out, and the food never gave out, and that was a promise of God in the dark ages. Don't you affect the oil, and don't you affect that meal. And we've had man all the way through to the end time, where we're entering in to this period where somebody must come with the authority of God and take precedence. And when the church turned him down, it opened the door for the Pope to take precedence, and he's taken it. I've quoted it to you. I'll read more in Toronto. On the flimliest, cruddiest evidence you ever heard. You go, oh, yes, yes, yes. And so when the Pope says, bark fighters, oh, oh, oh. Yeah. Oh, forgive me for being satirical. When I get moved a certain way, I could just take things and tear them to shreds. All right, listen again. 2 point. Then they were quickened or enabled by the same Spirit, the same God they knew that they had met and knew, to bring a word of prophecy, which invariably came to pass, proving it was God, and they were enabled to manifest their vindication unto authority and the taking of precedence for God. Oh, I could say so many. Let me read on. Of course, all those quickened were not prophets, but even if they weren't, their quickening was always in perfect order with the word prophets, such as Samuel with Moses and Joshua also. God spoke to Joshua and through him carried out the very word that God gave Moses. Then Brother Branham referred to Paul. And Paul spoke of the very hour in which we are now living, and he actually described it. So here we are with the spirit of Elijah ministry of Malachi 4, and the prophecies which Paul received by the quickening spirit of God are now being manifested, and the word quickened to us by the same spirit, which is the one that quickened Jesus to his great earthly ministry, and then quickened him from the dead. Right? That's why I don't know if we could really have a prophet to be like that, Brother Dale. Well, what if one came and appeared to see? Well, you see, I would judge him. A prophet can't be judged. He's been given vindicated ministry, the manifestation that shows he takes precedence. Our job is to bring every thought in submission, even as Paul and these prophets had every thought of theirs brought into submission, and they cast their own thoughts out as though it were dung. So, well, bless God, you mean that Brother Branham was really right when he said those prophets were God to the people? Not for you, he wasn't. For me, yes. And I, you know, I don't mean to not include all of you. These takes go a lot of different places. That's what I'm talking to, the people who aren't convinced. And here is God today, God himself, to quicken us, even unto immortality in the midst of the resurrection hour. And that depends on whether you believe the prophet or not, because those prophets have a grace given to them to minister. And there's only one grace that can come from anybody that's worth a plug nickel, and that's God. So therefore, as Paul himself said, he had that grace. It meant that he came with a free gift from God. Let me read it just in case. Who knows where that is? I wonder if I do. I better know or I'm talking out of turn. All right. Paul the Apostle talking for the end time about the creeds and dogmas that hung upon Israel will hang upon us at the end time. And he said, the veil of the mind's got to be ripped away. And Brother Branham said it took the skillful sword, the sword in the hand of a skillful man in the Spirit of God, which means that man must be controlled by God. And he said, nevertheless, when the mind shall turn to the Lord, the heart, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And John said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it has not yet ever appeared we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. John is corroborating Paul. Paul got this by revelation. John got it by Jesus teaching him. Now listen to what Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what ministry? To actually bring you into the image of Christ, to actually give you your transfiguration. He said, we have this ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not, having thus received that, and renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handing the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience, sight of God. If the gospel hid, it is hid from them that are lost, that to whom the God of this, in whom the God is world, and blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine in darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be, and the power may be of God. Now, Paul is speaking right here of the very fact that this is that which is given him, and the whole thing is by grace. So he tells you here the grace of God, which is going to positively change you. As he says in Romans, the 12th chapter, let's look at it. We get the thoughts here, and this is all through the Bible. Be not conformed. In verse 2, don't be conformed to, or don't be fashioned to this world, but be you transfigured, that's metamorphosed, completely changed, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable perfect will of God. So there is a perfect will of God at the end time. You've come up to it. Now, I say through the grace given unto me. There you are. Grace. These men have been given the unmeasurable grace to come before people, to not only be the ambassadors and legates of God, but to so present what God has for that hour, that grace of God, the quickened word, to bring them right into immortality. And it's never changed, because that's how people even get saved and born again. You can't change the pristine program of God and the beauty of it. Now, having said this, we're going to go back to where we're reading last night. And we're going to look at 189, of paragraph 189. Now, look, he said, those prophets, look at me, that's what I read about. I'll give you my little structure here to start with. Look at Paul. He said in the last days how these people would be acting and calling themselves Christians. He was a prophet full of the quickening power. Foresaw it come to pass. We believe that, don't we? He received quickening power. Now, Brother Branham is laying the platform for himself, because he categorically said, just think. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it, so there can be no difference whatsoever. Because God doesn't change. That's Hebrews 13 and 8. Hebrews 13 and 8 goes beyond the fact that Jesus is the Savior and the Healer. It illuminates the whole subject to you. See? That's why Brother Branham always referred to Genesis 18 when he spoke of Hebrews 13 and 8. Abraham outside the tent with God. Sarah inside the tent. God's back turned to Sarah. He read Sarah's heart. When she laughed at him. See, he took that to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, and said, the church has seen its last sign. Now, these prophets are vindicated to say those things. If Brother Branham said, it's seen the last sign, it's seen the last sign. What are people arguing about? Well, my preacher said, bless God, he can stop storms and everything else. I don't care if he can stop storms and everything else. What did the prophets say? Huh? There are different reports of what I'm going to read in Toronto to you. You just stick around and find out what it is. Yeah. If you can't reach this, you'll fall for anything. When you're done, close the door to reality, you're open to unreality. When you close the door to God, you're open to Satan. What do you think? Come on, you're sitting on the fence still? You know why people can't stand my preaching? They come once and usually leave. They can't stand the truth. They want to be morally caught. I'm on the fence. I can jump here. I can jump there. Go ahead and jump. Come on. You think Noah left the ark? He'd have been saved. Hogwash. Look at Paul. He said in the last days how these people would act calling themselves Christians. Where is that? That's in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. The same as Peter in Peter the second chapter. and Jude. He was a prophet full of the quickening power. And he foresaw it come to pass. In a vision. We believe that, don't we? And remember, if these men have the Spirit of God, God calleth those things which as though they were. And this man could say, that's it. I saw it. Look at the quickening power today, foretelling things without one event missing. Now he's referring to himself 100%. Not one time does it fail. Quickening power, not the power of a man, the power of God. And Brother Branham spoke of that. The question came up and said, well, Brother Branham, what did Jesus really mean when he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Well, he said, it's just like you're looking at me. Oh, God, hit me. Oh, my God. The man blessed me. Well, it says in the book of Hebrews, God and the prophets. I don't care what it says. Well, really do it. But you see, you just can't go that far. There's another meaning to it. Is there? Give me your vindication. See, I'm brainwashing you guys to hope that God, your brains will lead you and you'll get the brains of Jesus. So that's what's wrong with people. They don't want her. I want my thinking, bless God. Tell you something. God said he put Adam to a free moral agency. And what did that do for us? Killed every one of the children of God. Interrupted the plan of God. Better walk softly. You might talk rough, but you better walk softly, brother, sister. He said, when you see me, that's it. He said, it's not William Branham that says, thus saith the Lord, that a boy with leukemia is healed. It's not William Branham that said, thus saith the Lord, that thing happened. Who was it? God. Amen. In the man. Right. Now, what's the big complaint? So, while you see what the song said, and I believe it's so true, let others see Jesus in you, and others see Jesus in me. Well, aren't you wonderful? What have you got to prove Jesus in you that's any more than a Christian scientist got? So, well, bless God, I've spoken tongues, and I've been with the sick, and I've seen them healed. So did Judas. So, well, I've testified to Jesus. So did Judas. Yep. You don't believe that, do you? You're going to believe it. Because it's the truth. I'm going to tell you something. Judas did not go with those 12 and call some people around the corner and say, now, I'm different from them. I don't use the name of Jesus like they do. See, he's a scalawag. He said, I want to tell you people something. He raised his voice. And he said, that's a prophet from Galilee. Yes, sir. He said, that's a prophet from Nazareth. That's the one that John the Baptist spoke of. He's the Messiah. And I'm here to prove it. I'll pray in his name. And you watch the devils flee. You think he didn't say it? Oh, come on. You have got to be dead from the middle up. I'm going to quit talking like this because I'm going to get in some of you pretty soon and I want to just leave it be. And you always say, Neil Lee Bale is the meanest man in all the world. He just drove me away. Let me tell you, Brother Branham said, and I wrote 20th Century Prophet, he said, thank you, Lee, this is the greatest weapon put in my hands for my ministry at this time. He said, because you can say what I cannot say. Well, they didn't get it. He said, Lee, maybe you can break it down and feed it to them. It's going over the heads. It ain't going to go over your heads this morning. There's no way you don't understand what I'm saying. I look everyone in the eye. Because you know what I'm saying, why I'm saying it. And the funny part of it all is the peculiar. I say it just this way because I myself need to be constantly aware of the truth. Lest I let it slip at any time. The power, the abstract of Easter, which means resurrection, the abstract, which means that which is clearly written to prove the title is yours. Like I've said different times, and I said it last night, I suppose, and I said it the time before, I'll say it again, that Jesus Christ is the only man who made a will out and died and then rose again to see that no crooked, shyster, lousy lawyer or some punk junk kid or relative could break it to see that, but he saw that you got it. And he sent the Holy Ghost back to make sure every lost sheep came in. He said, all that the Father given me was shall come to me, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, you are not of my Father, you will not come. And the man without a wedding garment sat there. Boy, I can go along with some of these things, you know. The food's good. He said, oh yeah, I love that manna stuff for healing. Yeah. Brother Brandon said that man without a wedding garment was sitting in the crowds that he was preaching to. And they cast into the tribulation. I wish I could preach with the sincerity and the love and everything that man could preach. I can't. Look, say, I just teach. And I look at these things here and they may be not even a part of me. But I know what I'm saying because I know what he is saying. And by the grace of God, I can enter into his same spirit. And if I preach it rough, that's my destiny. I'll get it rough. And I've had it rough. The power, the abstract. Not just a piece of paper, not just the rhema, as though it were, but logos. God to himself, in whom are all things. Because he's the creator with absolute omniscience, which is wisdom beyond anything we'd ever know. He himself is here. Because Jesus paid the price to send him back. The same one in him Jesus positively sent back. The price is paid. Take over. You know that Jesus' death paid the price for the same pillar of fire to come back today that brought the word to Paul. Jesus sent back the abstract to guarantee us that we're already quickened with him. We are already inheritors. He's proven it. You don't have to look and say, is the resurrection going to come any moment? It is going to come any moment. Because it's already here in the full potential of the abstract. It's guaranteed. Say, well, what if it doesn't? No, it's going to. For somebody. That's all there is to it. Because God spoke and thus saith the Lord. And he's a man of integrity. He's one of integrity. Now, he says here, and we'll go on. Remember, and this is a new paragraph, written in the little book of the businessman here. That's the full gospel businessman's testimony. Looking past the curtain of time. That's what he entitled it. As I begin to get older, knowing that my days are getting shorter, I played that little piece the lady sang a while ago. I've had it about 18 or 20 years now. I want to talk it over, Lord. You go out there and go praying, and then that quickening power comes. I am rested up. I look up there and I said, look yonder. And I remember that morning being caught up. And that's like Paul was caught up. And my wife back there lying on the same bed as me that morning, I raised up and looked. And there she was asleep. And I said, if I'm going to do anything for the Lord, you better hurry up. Boy, you're past 50. The Holy Spirit caught me away. Now remember, this is the words he's saying. The Holy Spirit caught me away. I looked over there and I saw those saints, just as certain as I'm standing here by this desk, that's a pulpit there, with this sacred book, the Bible, laying here, and I'm a minister of the gospel. Now watch, listen to what he says. Have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord but what happened? Am I not declaring to you I am absolutely a prophet that's been quickened by God? Haven't you come to the place where you take every single word and hang on it and believe it? Did you understand my identity and my source when it comes to these sermons? And yet I had a woman tell me in Venom, after Brother Branham was dead, she said, let me tell you, Brother Dale, certainly I couldn't trust the prophet. He would bring his magazines to me, religious magazines, when he got through. And I'd read the sermons. And I found out he preached what was in those magazines and claimed them to be his own. Can you believe that anybody ever preached the anointed ones of the end time outside of William Branham? Can you believe that anybody stood there and claimed that that what he claimed when they said, what do you mean? When you see me, you've seen the Father. And he said, you're looking at me. Hey, look at me. Come on. This is the day of talking. White throne. Bible open. My hand raised. I wouldn't tell you that. I can tell you her name. I won't bother. So Brother Vale, maybe she was just a woman from, you know, way dark Africa or Asia somewhere. No, she knew Brother Branham. As intimately as any one of Brother Branham's associates in the tabernacle. Brother Moore, can you conceive that? How far have people gone? And can't recognize that man beyond any minister that is known in history. No. How blind are the blind? They're blind. Have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord but what happened? Now I'm going to tell you beyond the curtain of time. And if you believe that I'm that vindicated prophet, I'm making myself out to you right now. You will know that I am not lying to you, that this is the truth. Yep. Well, you say, well, Brother Bale, there's people, you know, they're just not afraid of nothing, you know, bless God. They can see anything. I know people like that myself. I can name at least one name. He just drives me out of my skull. To think he can lie like he lies and he does what he does. He got no more conscience, as Brother Branham said, than a snake's got hips. But Brother Branham didn't know the boa constrictor's got remnants. And if that guy has any remnants of conscience, before God, I'm not trying to run the guy down. I'm just telling you, I know him. Hey, man, all right. No conscience, no nothing with that fellow. Look at. Have I ever told you anything that hasn't happened exactly right? Has there been anything but the proof that I am that one that was to come? Now he said, if I've ever told you anything that didn't happen, if I have, I want you to tell me about it. Every time hasn't been perfectly correct at the platform. Public display. Every time hasn't happened just like he said. Not like I said now. It was thus saith the Lord. Now listen. This is not Brother Branham making a plea for himself. Although some may think so. After what I told you when I wrote the little 20th century prophet for him. What he would say there to me was, you can say what I cannot say, so therefore the prophet was not saying what I'm telling you. You understand what I'm saying? He is not saying this to aggrandize himself. He is not saying this to vindicate himself. He has left it up to people like me to tell you exactly those things that the prophet said and how to apply them. Now, that's my job, and if you don't believe it's my job, that's your business. Hey, I got no problem with that. Just plug your ears from now on. That'll take care of it. Well, they just want to stick around and see how ridiculous I can get. Hey? Now, every time hasn't it happened just like he said, it was thus saith the Lord. So this is to encourage us. And the story he's going to tell is to let us know that they are ready to come back on the same grounds that we're ready to get out of here, which is they're depending on William Branham preaching the identical message of Paul. Making the circle complete from Alpha to Omega, where the prophet himself said there must come an Ephesus again, a church in perfect order, with the perfect word. Now listen, I stood there and looked over that time and I saw tens of thousands times thousands coming. I don't think he means millions, it just came in waves of thousands. And amounted to tens. Young men and women running, throwing their arms around me, screaming. I looked right back and saw myself lying on the bed. Oh, the Lord, let me look past the curtain of time. Oh, Lord, let me look past the curtain of time. He did. And he came back and he told us there was a woman there, a beautiful young woman, 16, 18 years of age, one of the most beautiful I've ever seen, threw her arms around him. And he didn't feel any sensations, which would be normal human sensations. He said it was just pure love. That's all there was there. You see, they had the right bodies for it. That's the big thing. Those spirit bodies. And the angel with him said, don't you recognize her? And he said, no. Well, she was 90 years old when she was converted in your meetings, and she's here now. And they were waiting to come back. We're waiting to go. The message that Paul started got them ready to go. The message that Brother Branham preaches gets them ready to come back. Right. Sure. Cornerstone is the capstone. No difference. Not two gods, not two Christs, not two Holy Spirits, just one. Just one word, one God. What is it? The quickening power that will catch us away, that great quickening power. Now, notice, he's been speaking of quickening power, and the ultimate was in Christ being raised from the dead. Right? Now then, the Holy Spirit comes back on the day of Pentecost, dividing himself, starting a church, a platform for a church, the Gentiles. After about to 19 to 53 AD, roughly, then comes Paul with his complete revelation for the Gentile church, and he's laid a foundation. And in that foundation, the cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the form of fire. That's Jehovah God. In the form of the Holy Ghost comes down and he starts that particular church. Now then, he says to the Corinthians, you've already started to wait, to fall away. To John the Revelator, the scribe John wrote, you have begun to fall away having left your first love. Now notice what happened. The church went into a spin. However, that did not annul the coming of the Holy Spirit. It did not destroy the church. But under Luther, it began to come back, and the quickening power began to rise in the church, until Brother Branham now tells us that though this is the same Holy Spirit which has done that, as far as this church age is concerned, this now becomes the ultimate spiraling movement of the Holy Ghost. And whether you know it or not this morning, you are here as benefactors of the great Holy Spirit himself doing his great final act in the church. Which he's here to raise the dead. Now let that sink in. Now don't put it down the road someplace. Don't put it up the road, and don't put it back down the road. Look now, is he here or is he not here to raise the dead? Yeah. Now, Brother Branham said the pillar of fire is going to take us into the millennium, and you can't go there until after the great tribulation. And Satan is bound, and the earth is cleansed, at least in a measure we can come back. So, if he's here to lead us in, he has got to raise the dead.
Yeah.
He has got to change the living. Now, you know what we ought to do right now? Before God, I line up. We're not going to do it because I'm chicken. We should all get up and scream and hug each other.
Amen.
And let ourselves go to believe the truth.
Amen, brother.
Because we are bound emotionally. Not that we don't have in our hearts. See, look, you couldn't have a lot of screaming going on in my kind of preaching. I just tell you to stop because people would not hear what I'm saying. Well, I've got news for you. We're going to be doing it shortly. If not in the church, it doesn't matter. But you know, I just cannot conceive that anybody will not be dancing and shouting when the dead come out of the earth and we are changed. I cannot conceive it. Oh, when they say, blow your trumpet in Zion, it says, hallelujah, that's the year of Jubilee. The feast is about to begin. That's what Brother Branham said, the quickening power that will catch us away, and thereby we will catch up to the Old Testament saints, all the New Testaments, and be with God Himself incarnated in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can we believe this morning, therefore, that this spiraling power that will take us back will take us back to the God from whom we started? You follow what I said? The spiraling power, the maximizing of the privilege and power of God within Himself is bestowed upon us by His free grace to take us back to the one of whom we're begotten. Because all things start with God, and what starts does not stop. As Brother Branham said, one day you'll find that you weren't saved when you thought you were saved. You always were saved. You thought you were a chicken, but one day an eagle came by and screamed and you found out you didn't belong to the chickens. Presbyterian Methodist Church, bye-bye. United Church, bye-bye. Pentecostals, bye-bye.
Yep.
Don't belong to that. You know, so we're not running anybody now. For heaven's sake, don't you understand? Don't you understand that certain species all over the world, they say hundreds per day are now being extinct and there's no way to bring them back? The bride will soon be extinct. I can read in the book of Revelation. It tells you right there. Read it for yourself. When she comes out of Babylon, the voice of the bride is heard no more. The voice of the bridegroom is heard no more. It's all over. It's dark. There's no wine to sing and rejoice by. There's no dancing in the streets. Bondage. The voice of hell spelling doom, though the words are honeyed in crystal as though they're beautiful. And John stood back and he said, Babylon, I can't understand. Marvelous. Look at it. She's nothing but a whore, and her daughters are prostitutes. And in her is the blood of all the martyrs. She hasn't got a word that God wants. Extinct species, brothers and sisters, spiraling up, going back to God. Can we believe it's for us? Brother Branham admitted he had no gift for himself. He prayed for Billy Paul. Kid was so nervous, couldn't come down off the mountain. Got stuck up there. I could have to get somebody to take me off a Ferris wheel if I was on one. Don't worry. I can't even ride on the teeter-totter. I'm not making myself a Billy Paul. I'm just telling you, I can understand and appreciate what his nerves would do to him. That night, Brother Branham prayed for somebody else. Remember, in doubt, might have been Donovan. Words we heard of, spoke of last night. And then Brother Branham pulled up his pant leg, and they saw the ugliest black and blue mark. And he said, see, the gift doesn't work for me. It's for you. Well, bless God, Brother Bill, I want to tell you how you and Brother Branham are wrong. He said, you're not making any money, and I'll tell you how you make the money. I said, well, brother, do tell on. And I had a merry twinkle in my heart more than my eye. Because I wanted to tell Brother Brown this great secret so we could both laugh. Because he'd tell me things we'd laugh together. I thought a good laugh be... You know what he said about fellowship is two men in a boat. And two men having a good laugh, you know, so it relieves the pressure. Oh, I said, do tell. What do you see? You see, Brother Bale, what you do in the prayer line. You say, now look, if you folk who give a $5 offering, $5 in those days was very big. That's back in 1958. You know, that's what's that? That's 33 years ago. Man, that's ooh-wee. People that got $15,000 a year at that time, that was big money. Now, 60 doesn't even look too good. So $5 looked awful good. He said, now what you do, he said, you tell him, he said, now look at this, we're going to pray for everybody. But you who bring $5, we'll pray for you first. He said, it's in $5 bills come. So I went back later, I said, but Brother Bama said, well, we got our financial problems all set it up. What do you mean? Well, this fella, I've told you before, I'm going to tell you tonight, this morning, though, I'm going to forget it. He told his husband, he said, what's that? Well, I said, Brother Branham, when you pray for the sick, from now on you simply announce you pray for everybody who's really free, but those that give $5 get prayed for first. Well, he had a big laugh with me. Boy, I tell you what. I thought the scripture said without money and without price. Well, you say, well, the thing is, I'm not Price. I'm Mr. Jones. Did you get my snide remark? Ever hear of a man named Price? Price Waterhouse in the game? Yeah. 195. The quickening power came in these last days. Get it? What's that I've been telling you? All right? He'll describe it. That is what I'm in Arizona for right now. There are many people sitting here, stood right here in Phoenix and heard me tell you right here from the very platform, thus saith the Lord. How many remember? Something's fixing to happen. Now listen, I saw seven angels come. Didn't light magazine packet as the fog floated across here 27 miles high and 30 miles across? Didn't not Fred Stauffen or those other Gene Norman sitting back there stood right there when those seven angels appeared right there in the hill? It shook the hill for miles around like that. There stood seven angels with a silver sword in his hand and said, go home and open those seven seals, not six now. Seven seals that are given, and here they are, the true mystery of marriage and divorce and serpent seed, and all those things been fussed about. It's thus saith the Lord. Now this is a bold witness that cannot be proven to anybody. It's what I picture. So what? It's a picture. Were you there to see seven angels? No. Now why do you believe it? Because you believe in prophets. And you believe in the integrity of God. Now we're hitting that this morning because we really do not believe in His integrity. So Brother Dale, I believe thus saith the Lord. Then do you believe what thus saith the Lord was all about? He is here to raise the dead. He's here now and He's going to do it. And the words that Brother Branham gave us are quickened at this hour to us as individuals here. And William Branham did not have God Himself appear to him for him. Oh, bless God. God appealed to me. Now, let me see what he said. Oh, yes. He said, Joseph Smith, these angels came. He said, oh, you can have a lot of wives. Oh, I've always wanted that. And, look, you can tell this story and that story. Oh, I always just love to do that. Joseph Smith was a devil-possessed man if he got that from an angel. Where do the Mormons come in? Now, come on. The point is, do you really believe thus saith the Lord? See, we're not really convinced. I told you, we're still sitting on a fence. I've got news to you. We've been knocked off the fence. Now, what side did we fall on? I'm honest with you. I'm not lying to you. God is my judge. I'm not lying to you. I'm reading what the prophet said here. Not telling anything else. This is what he said happened. Now, there's no way to believe about these angels and this which happening unless we understand the spiraling vindication of this prophet. He came on the scene with a gift of healings. And I told you time and again, and I'll tell it in Toronto lately, how that in Canada, I sat there amongst about 1,200 people, wherever they were there, and I heard Brother Branham say, I challenge you, bring me 24 of your worst cases, either 24 or 25, but it's 24 minimum. And he said, I guarantee healing for everyone. You know, I'd like to have seen that. But a bunch of selfish people had their ideas. They missed the whole trick. He said 60% get healed in my meetings. Do you want to come through the line and take the opportunity and see what happens? Or do you want to see those 24 miracles guaranteed? Let me see your hand. Everybody wanted to come through. I want to tell you, I think I saw about, oh, there must have been 800 or more, maybe 1,200 people passed. I think the building held 3,500 crowded. I think it was 3,500, as I recall. I saw about 1,200 people go through that line, and there wasn't one miss. Not 24, but maybe 50 times 24. That's the first one. Then he came with discernment. Thus saith the Lord. Never a failure. And aspiring God coming more and more into His church with mighty signs and wonders vindicating it until He stands here with the ultimate. Time to go home, children, back where you come from. Woo, I'm going to listen. 2 minutes more and I'll start screaming. Listen, I've been Pentecostal. God help you. If I ever turn loose. I hope I never scream like a banshee, if there is such a thing as a banshee, but I think I could rival one. It's time we shook loose. This is a bold witness that Brother Branham expects us to believe, which we'll see in a minute. Oh, I'm going to see in a minute. I'm going to read. Brother Branham is speaking now, Fred Slothman and Gene Norman there. And he talks about those seven angels. Did you notice that one angel I said in there was a strange angel? He looked more to me, that is, he looked more to me. In other words, I picked him out as somebody different, something different, someone to look at. This is the one if you're going to look at. Right? Understand what I mean? He looked to me more than the rest of them. Do you remember that? They were in a constellation. Three on a side and one on top. That means seven exactly. And the one right next to me here, counting from the left to the right, would have been the seventh angel. He was brighter, meant more to me than the rest of them. You remember I said he had his chest out like that. His chest wails. He, like, what does a chest out mean? I've accomplished something. Right? Look at me. Not in himself. Hey, boy, watch my smoke. We are talking in terms of God and His ultimate. Yep. If you're skeptical, it's okay. I don't mind. You ain't going there anyway. So you got to come down to proper, absolutely honest to God faith. Did God do it or didn't He do it? If William Branham was a deceiver and a racketeer, let me tell you, he deceived so few as to be the lousiest, rotten deceiver I've ever heard of. Because I wouldn't bet on him for nothing, not even to be the, what would you call it, the sweep-out agent of Satan in hell. Because if any man ever failed Satan, William Branham did. Genghis Khan did a better job. See what I'm saying? Pharaoh. Hitler. Make William Branham look sick. What? Who did William Branham deceive? He's a fake as a fake. All right. This one had his chest out, signifying a confidence, signifying power, signifying authority. It picked me up, lifted me up. Do you remember that? Here it is. The one with the seventh seal. In other words, each one came. An embodiment of the Holy Spirit came every day. And this was the ultimate. The thing I've wondered about all my life, amen. Those other seals meant a lot to me, of course, but oh, you don't know what this meant. For one time in my life, I'd prayed, I'd cried to God after the Phoenix meeting. Any of the people there with me know, I laid in the mountain. One morning, got up and went in Sabina Canyon, great rugged high mountain. I went up there and there was a little foot trail after you lead off. Go up the mountain, Lemon Mountain, there's 30-mile walk. There was about 30 feet of snow up there. Now, he's talking about this particular instance of meeting the angels with Gene and Fred, but this he's talking about now, he's by himself. Right? Yeah. He's not out hunting. He's up where there's 30 feet of snow. Now watch. Now remember I read down here, there stood seven angels, one with a silver sword in his hand. And that one said, go open the seven seals. You heard I read? Who had the sword? Angel, right? That's what he said. Okay. I turned, went up to some great jagged rocks, oh my, hundreds of feet high, knelt down between those rocks. I laid this Bible and laid down this book, this little tablet. And I said, Lord God, what does this vision mean? I said, Lord, does it mean my dying? You remember I told you I thought it might mean my death because something exploded till it just shook me to pieces. You remember? How many knows? Yeah, you heard it. Sure, all of you. Now that thing took back to that, what he's talking about, that vision that took place was back in Jeffersonville. Now he doesn't really know what it's all about. Am I going to die? What's going to happen? What's this? What's that? And I thought it could mean my death. Then in the room I said, what is it, Lord? What does it mean? Does it mean I'm going to die? If it is, it's all right. I won't tell my family. Just let me go if my work's finished. And I said, but what is it? But he sent a witness back. You remember telling me? It wasn't that. It was a furtherment of my work. In other words, the spiral is going up. Now, what's more important than the winning of souls? Nothing until there's no more to win. Right? You don't believe that? Are there going to be people saved when the bride's gone? Not to the bride, they won't. 40's virgin maybe still come in. Brother Branham said they're going to, Billy Graham said the same thing. They'll be going to the altar thing to get saved. He said it's too late. So there's something that is not a part of the literal salvation as to souls coming in, but it refers to those evidently then who have come in and the ultimate that God has in his plan or at this particular point in our generation. Do you see it? Sitting up in Sabina Canyon, Heavenly Father knows it. Just as true as you saw it come to pass, those angels came right down to vindicate every message to be the same. Then you know whether it came from God or not. It was foretold by vision. I couldn't tell you until the service was over because it was forbidden to. Now, what's he telling you? He says, right here, he said, look, to me, I know it's God because I went right back to the source, which is the Bible. Now, page 561 bottom. In Sabina Canyon, sitting up there that morning, I had my hands up. See, the wind blowing my old black hat down. I was standing there with my hands up praying, Lord God, what does this mean? I can't understand the Lord. What am I going to do? If it's my going home, let me go up there where they'll never find me. I don't want anybody to be mourning over me. You know, I just want my family to think that I took a long walk. They won't find me. Hide me away somewhere. If I'm going to go away, why not let me go? Maybe Joseph will find my Bible laying here someday and let him use it. See? If I'm going away, Lord, let me go. And I had my hands out. All at once, something hit my hand. I don't know. I can't see. Did I go to sleep? I don't know. You went to trance? I don't know. Was it vision? Can't tell you. Only thing I can say what it is. Just the same thing like the angels were. And it struck my hand. And I looked, it was a sword. And it had pearl handles, real pretty. Had a guard over it with gold. And a blade looked like something like chrome, like silver. And it was real shiny. It was so feather-edged sharp, like a razor, see. Oh, my. And I thought, isn't that the prettiest thing? Just fit in my hand. And I thought, that's awful. And I said, hey, I'm always afraid of them things. A sword? And I thought, what did I do with that? Just then a voice shook down through there that rocked the rock and said, it's the sword of the king. And I came out of it. The sword of the king? Now if it had said a sword of a king, but it said the sword of the king. And there's only one the king. And that's God. And he has one sword. And that's his word, what I live by. Now listen, here's the prophecy. So help me God, bring on his holy vesture with this holy word of laying here It's the word amen. And that's what that third pull and everything was all about, bringing you this word that's vindicated. I am here to bring you the word and to raise the dead and to change you and take you away. Can you identify with that?
Oh, bless God. Angels. Who angels?
Well, then you all read the Bible. Even Billy Graham believes in angels. Tell him about those. You know. That was nice to meet you. He's a liar. Wasn't nice at all. Bored silly and sick to fear we might pull a knife on him or something. Now listen. Oh, what a day we're living in. What a great thing. See the mystery, the secret, the third. Third what? Pull. Standing there when this left me. Something just came and said, don't fear. Now I didn't hear no voice. Like on the inside of me spoke. They may be one, as thou, Father, and I are one. Now, isn't it strange the audience say, I'll believe that. Yes, bless God, I'll believe that. But if a prophet stands up vindicated and brings the revealed word, who does he think he is? You know, you could be actually suckered by my preaching. Because you believe what I tell you. But I'm not suckering anybody. Have I asked for your money? Have I gone to your homes and snooped on you? I can get mad and talk about you maybe. Throw the dirt under the rug. I don't bother anybody. Don't ride hurt on you. Why would I lie to you? I don't need your money. For years I've had money from the outside. We bank all the money that comes in, almost all of it. I got so many suits now, my wife's many clothes, they're going to take at least 5 funerals now and 3 suits on me to bury me. That leaves a lot for the poorhouse. I don't need anything. They bought me a lovely car. Canadian money, most of it. From Canada alone, I can be supported. Why do I preach? I can't stop myself. What it is the truth to me. To somebody else, who cares? I didn't hear a voice. But the one inside. Like on the inside of me. I just tell you the truth. Just exactly what happened. I'm suckering you. Is he suckering them? No. What I tried to show you is this. You've got to come to a place where you really believe it. Say, this is it. This is it. This is it. This is it. Oh, Brother Bill, I spoke in two. Hey, listen, kid, I preached a whole sermon in English and was heard by a German woman. I said every word in German according to her. And what do you got to stand up here and tell me you spoke in tongues? Ha! Get with it. I'm not against tongues. Not at all. But don't try to come against a prophet, the word of Almighty God, with some little gift that you think you have. Many will come in that day. You don't believe it, do you? Or do you? I hope so for your own sake, because, hey, I left Pentecost, and by the grace of God, it all left me, because Brother Brand said, no Pentecost is going to make the rapture. And he's talking about the organized Pentecost there, because why? They are absolutely an idolatry with a Trinitarian baptism of the Roman Catholic Church, and the Catholics admit that they invented it. I just tell you the truth exactly what happened. Something hit and said, don't fear, this is that third pull. What's the third pull? Number one, the sign in his hand, healing of the sick with the gift. Number two, discernment. And the third thing was, thus saith the Lord, which brought forth the word of Almighty God. The same pillar of fire that brought the word positively is here revealing the word, or the Apostle Paul was a liar, or William Branham was a liar, and that makes God a liar. You say, why, Brother Dale? Because he backed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Because has God got integrity? Or hasn't he got integrity? God's never backed my word. He never will back my word. Years ago, as a kid preacher, I told you, back in Canada, we had a woman. Evelyn was she was just love personified. She had a nice husband. I wish he was half as nice as she. You're going to have a baby. Doctor said, got to take the baby. She's going to die. Well, I'm a great Pentecostal preacher. I believe in healing. I believe in climbing the wall. Speaking in tongues, jumping over chandeliers almost. Hey, hallelujah. You sort of rumble your way through. Rumble and rumble. I'm not going to speak to you reverently. Maybe I do to you, but I know what it's all about in the sense of the word. I was there. I was honest. I was sincere. We all were. But we were getting nowhere. And tongues were an excuse. We could praise and praise. But one day the miraculous happened. When I got through talking in tongues, I heard myself say, "And Evelyn shall be healed." I said, "Oh, God. Boy. No, she's going to get healed. She's not going to eat." You talk about sweat. So I said, "Well, I'm a pretty foxy guy. I don't have all these brains for nothing." Had a pretty high IQ when I was a kid, and I knew how to use it. Well, I said, "You see, it's this way. If that was God, that is the truth. She'd be healed." So I went down with my fear and my trembling because I was scared to pray for anybody because I knew they wouldn't be healed. I laid hands on her. When I left, she vomited up an ugly substance the size of a banana, stunk to high heaven. They buried it. She was healed. "Oh, Brother Dale, you got it made. Hallelujah." Now, I prophesied. I've had visions. No. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be rude and harden anybody. I want you to understand. You don't put your trust in that. When there's a prophet, you can't judge a prophet or you're judging God. Because it's thus saith the Lord. And if it's backed up, then it's God's integrity that's at stake, not the prophet's. "For he that receives whomsoever I send receives me." He said, "I sent you prophets, wise men, and scribes." He said, "You murdered the whole bunch of them." Oh, I'll hate myself for preaching like this. And you can too, join the crowd. It'd be fun. Psalm 97, what is it? The quickening power coming to the church. The quickening power coming to the church. Listen, to this point, it has always been coming and not arriving. When William Branham started on the river in 1933, which was June the 11th, God started to come into his church in the final measure until there was no measure of the Word or the Holy Spirit left. Then it had to form Christ. Right. Couldn't be anything else. Where Alpha is Omega, the same pillar of fire. The quickening power coming into the church. Listen, making her ready in this hour that we're approaching. Quickening power. Then Brother Branham says this. Now listen. Oh God, help us to receive. Help us to believe it. He got it backwards. No, he didn't. Help us to receive on the grounds of vindication. This has to be God. Because, hey, it can't be anything else but God. Now help me to believe it. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. As many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. If we are not ordained to the resurrection and immortality, we simply cannot receive it. We cannot relax under the seventh seal. We cannot say, "This is it, and I'm a part of it." Say, "By the grace of God, Lord, I'm a slouch. I'm a no good. I admit all those things. But I believe. And I stand here to receive a part of it." And I like the thought, "Lord, you cleaned that woman up for Brother Branham." Remember the girl that died? He didn't know she was living in sin several times. Now she's pregnant. They didn't catch it in time. The baby's dead. Toxemia sets in. She's dying. Brother Branham goes and prays. The girl's perfectly recovered. Her mother's sitting by the bedside. And she said, Mother, I'm going to go away. She said, Well, I know, daughter, you're leaving the hospital. No, she said, Mother, I'm going to go to be with the Lord or something like that. Oh, she said, daughter, you're just nervous. And I understand. I really do. But Brother Branham prayed and you're perfectly healed. You got a clean bill of health. You're coming home. She said, No, Mother, I'm not. And she died. Now, Brother Branham is angry. He's upset. Why would God do a thing like this? Heal her and she dies? Well, that's the old joke that they told the doctor. You know, they always want to tell jokes about black people, so it's always a black doctor. So the poor old patient died, and he said, Well, there's one thing about it. I said, he died, but I know he died healed. You know, it's always a joke. Doctor cured him. Now here you are, here's this woman, actually the truth. God has healed her, and he takes her home. Brother Branham is angry. The Spirit of God departs. Months later, he sees a vision. And in this vision, he sees this girl in a boat. And the boat tips over. And as she's going down the third time and drowning, they bring her out and her life is saved. But she can't live clean for God. She goes back to the hog wallow. She's not a hog, she's a sheep. So now she's pregnant and she's dying with a dead fetus in her womb. Now she's cleaned up. God takes her home. What's the moral of my story? The point is, you and I do not like ourselves. We do not like what we do. And I don't think anybody else does either. Let's be honest. God's cleaning us up. Don't worry. And he'll get us out of here. And I can prove that by the book of Revelation. They washed their robes in the opening of the seven seals and the seven thunders. Help us to receive. Help us to believe. That's his prayer. See, how many minutes? I'll read one little paragraph maybe here. What do you got? Yeah. See, it depends on what attitude you take as to whether it's going to do you any good or not, though. What's the attitude? Go back to your Bible. What was the attitude of the scribes and Pharisees? Aha! The miracles are fine, but that man's of the devil. Then they got a little bolder. They said, I'll tell you what, he cast out devils by the devil. They sold themselves into blasphemy and unforgivable sin. Aren't they doing that today?
Yeah.
Well, come on, it's evidence. I told you the temptation of Jesus, the devil said, hey, he said, turn these stones into bread, you're hungry, and the Pope's going to feed the hungry world. And he said, come on, Jesus, put on a circus, get them entertained, and the Pope will entertain them with lying signs and wonders. And he said, fall down and worship me, and the Pope will say, get down there, boy. Why? Because the devil's in the man. Do you think he changes his tactics? He's the same yesterday, today, and long as he lives, till they cast him out and annihilate him. When you see it, it's easy, isn't it? If you don't see it, it's not easy. It depends on what attitude you take as to whether it's going to do you any good or not. Though, now listen, then if the attitude is right, you got it made. It'll do you good. How much good? What are you looking for? Well, Brother Dave. This Hebrew. Are you looking for the word of the hour? Get me out of here, Lord. Like Brother Ben said, get me out of this old pest house. I can say that because my hand hurts and, like I said, I'm taking cortisone. It feels a lot better. Just don't grab it too hard. That's for the meetings. Then I quit taking it. I go back to suffering until something happens. Or whatever. See? How much good? What are you looking for? Lord, I believe in your integrity. I meet you with all the sincerity I can that you are here for the purpose you have put to your prophet into us. And I want to be part of it. That's all. Is there grace for me? If you come sweetly and humbly, you'll get your wedding garment because you're ordained to get it. But you can't get it simply by sitting in these meetings. I've told you time and again, one of the greatest experiences in my life, and I mean it with all my heart, was not prophesying Brother Branham would come to Florida and he came. Not having visions and things of prophecy, that's nothing. The big thing was when I sat in his meeting, and he said, let me tell you, the shout is a message. I said, doing, Brother Branham, I've heard you say a lot of strange things, but this is the penultimate. I don't think I can take it. Suddenly, when was he ever wrong? Shout's message, help me. So, Brother Vail, is that so final? Hey, kid, it's as final as I know how. Until God does something about it. Whatever's inside me. And ain't much. No, ain't much. Won't do you one bit of good unless you got the right attitude. Samuel stood before the people and said, have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that happened? Ever begged for money to live on? No! Hey, Brother Branham. Hey, look. You had something. Yeah, you had something. And on your life, hey, look. No complaints. We want you anyhow. See, if we take you, we got to leave our organization, leave our doctrine. O King of my life, I crown thee now. Thou and thine shall the glory be. Is a bunch of hogwash and lies coming from the throats of so-called believers. Because he came down. The way he always comes down, stands before groups of men and declares himself. And they said, Lord, we love you. Well, I'm here. Oh, Lord, we love you. Well, he said, my glory, I won't share with another. Well, maybe. See, you can't play the thief. You can't sit on a fence. Can't do. To whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Yeah, oh my, 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 my. That's the way the church is today. They want their own ideas. They won't pay a bit of attention to you. They walk right around. Well, it just goes to show the quickening power's not there. Brother Branham said that. Well, if I go and make my notes tonight or this afternoon, we can start here next week. You love the Lord? Aren't you really glad that something definitive's happened? Isn't it true that the worst thing in all the world is indecision? You know something? You can get so nervous that way, drive you crazy. But the minute you make a decision, even though it is wrong, you suddenly begin to feel good. I did when I quit preaching. I preached a few years and I said, if that's all there is to it, the four-letter word starts with H. I said it. I didn't say that about God. I said with them and their religion. And anything they had thought they had from God, and I thought I had it too. And I walked out. And I felt great. Until. Then the nerves began collapsing. TB is a pituitary. Put my feet outside the bed to cool them off. Day and night, no sleep. Anxiety. Oh, yeah. Make your decision today. My decision and yours is not simply collapsed nerves. It's the great tribulation. An entire loss. You say, Brother Bale, what if I'm not elect? Well, listen, you're here this morning, aren't you? You're not offended. At least what the prophet said. Now, what I may say about it, you can be well offended. Because, hey, that goes for the... That's just par for the course around me. You can be offended. That's okay. But as to the real truth, if I told you the truth according to what the prophet said and I've read it, and I've done my best not to deviate from one single word, but to elaborate from the contents of other messages, and to put ourselves in the place, if we were the prophet, the inner spring within us, and what's going on. In other words, the spirit of the conductor must have come from the spirit of the composer before he can bring it out. Amen. Then if that spirit is in the conductor, which was William Branham, And we are now down here in the lesser capacities by the instructing and helping you. And you are responding. We then are the great symphony of Almighty God.
Amen.
Well, Brother Bill, that first violinist doesn't play too well. Well, hallelujah. When he gets over, he'll play marvelously. Well, you know, the tuba player could be sharpened up. Well, what do you play? I'll play the flute. Well, I heard some squeaks in yours, too. See what I mean? Got to come to the place of this is the Word of God. Now, listen, last night I spoke about love. And I'm going to tell you something. Something's happened to the people so far in these two meetings. What will continue to happen, don't ask me. I am not a prophet. But neither am I stupid, neither am I foolish. I know the moving of the Spirit of God. And there is a coming together which we haven't had for some time. And it has nothing to do with anybody personally. It has to do with just Him or He who is here, the Spirit of God. And it comes through the Word, piling word upon word. And I told you, when I went into this message for years, I looked at it, and I said, ain't nothing to it. He said, Brother Vail, listen, I'm honest. I was, what did you really say? Well, I said, I don't understand it because it doesn't seem to do a thing for me. It's not in the same caliber those others are. You see, at that time I hadn't been able to preach to you. Brother Branham comes with one theme, and he stands with that one theme, who he is and who God is. This is it. And he stands there and he doesn't waver. And I thought he was wavering. It'd be nice to Pentecostals. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. How can a man waver when he's part of the rock and the rock is solid? You see, I underestimated William Branham. I despised the goodness of God. I vaunted myself above it as though I could judge. Not really as though I want to judge it. You don't bring something bad. Where are you this morning? I don't feel you're that way. I don't feel that you're as rotten as I was. Puzzled maybe, but I don't feel any bad spirit here. If it didn't, wouldn't matter anyway. What's the difference? If my spirit could be rotten as one of the worst, is that going to change God? Is that going to stop anybody? No, it's not. So now Robin, Brother Branham said, hey, corrected by the Word. Now that love can come in. No more Cains. Oh, it's not that there aren't Cains around, but hey, look, we're Abels. That's right. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you again for your goodness and mercy and ask the Lord to forgive us if we're doing wrong by not having services here. Because we just don't know too much about everything. We pray, Lord, if there's people home here, they'll be able to at least read what the prophet said, which is far better than even me talking about it. But it do miss the fact of coming together, but we're not going to stay apart by your grace. We'll be back again. And help us in Toronto, Lord, to give us the strength, to give us, above all, the true spirit of Christ, which is one of exalting God, lifting Him up the best we can because He is lifted up. And He's not lifted up because we do it. We only do it because we're trying to on the grounds that we know He's lifted up. And He's worthy of praise. Help us, Lord. I believe you're here to move on us. I don't know how, but oh God, I believe you are. The sweet Spirit of Christ, we could say, heal us, Lord, at this moment when our hearts are open. I don't know that that's what I'd want. I could be dying, Lord, and my wife dying, different things that are wrong with us, and everybody's dying with something wrong with it. But Lord, that death isn't what matters. It's how we approach it, knowing just beyond the curtain of time, stepping into a spirit body, and coming back to pick up a glorified hand. California may be going down any minute, Lord. The Pope right now could be having a vision. The lad grand dies himself in the heart of system such a position. The bride's got to get out of here. I don't know. But I believe, Lord, could it be sufficient that we just say this morning we recognize something we haven't felt, recognized before? Something, Lord, that makes us want to just step into that chamber of love, of God, of relaxation under the seven seals, you that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall appear from the heavens with His mighty angels, flames of fire taking judgment on those that believe not. when he comes to be glorified in his saints. Lord, if you're more and more in your church and this is getting that ultimate, and that ultimate, Lord, is we shall be like you because we're in your presence now. And John said not to be ashamed in his presence. Then, Lord, we can breathe a little easier. And we can just rest upon your grace that you're cleaning us up to get us out of here. Because you don't do anything different. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wash us again, wash us, Lord, continually, or let us believe the continuous power of the blood through which you view us. And you see Jesus, not us. You see the perfections and see what you want to see, which is that image, Lord. Are these the things? I hope so. We're kind of like Brother Branham standing there wondering. Forgive us for even making ourselves that comparison, Lord, because it's really stupid in a way. And yet, what can we say? He's our example. Are we standing, waiting? We must be, because we haven't been changed yet, the dead Adam that fear. But Lord, he said we have everything we need to put us into the rapture. So therefore, we stand in your presence this morning. We're going to believe that. We do believe it in a certain way. I mean, you know what I mean by that, Lord. We believe it. It's got to be true, because he said so. And we'll wait, Lord, until everything is worked out. And it will be worked out in us because of the measure of grace that's been given this day to a prophet, a ministry, a word of quickening, to quicken a bride to the image of him who actually was the tabernacle of that word. Job said, I'll be satisfied when I awaken thy likeness. We say the same thing. Now, Lord, be with us as we go. We'll have lunch together. Then down the road, what have you. But it's so good to know you're here and to feel your glorious presence. And to feel that love, Lord. And somehow feel the explanation without an explanation. Knowing even now it's a further revelation. Just that lovely faith in you, Lord. And as you come more and more into your church, I know you're coming more and more into the individual. Because the life that's in the foot is the life that's in the finger, is the life that's in the lung cells, in the heart cells. There isn't a different life. It's the one life with that word and with us. So what can we say except thank you, Father? Thank you, Jesus. And may your name be glorified. We really mean it. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.